just post more reels, post more shorts, and double down on it. And there's still room for growth. You know, I had some songs that went only viral on Instagram and didn't go viral on TikTok. So not every song is going to be like Hard Work Got First, where it kills it on both. Sometimes you might need the other platforms. I think the bottom line is, if you're an independent artist or you're a young artist on the come up, be resourceful, study the game. Like, I've spent untold hours just learning, watching what's working for other artists, finding, oh, this person's popping, I'm going to kind of reverse engineer what they're doing to be successful. Oh, this person's killing it. This is somebody like, you know, a Drake or a Ye that's at the top. What are they doing that I can replicate on a smaller scale as an independent artist? Like, you just always be learning, watch hours of YouTube tutorials, you know, and I have pages and pages of notes in my journal, and me and a couple of my homies who are on my team and work with me will just literally sometimes spend whole days looking at what's working and then kind of building out a strategy based on it. Behind me, you'll see some calendars. There's content calendars back there. There's, you know, schedule for posts and meetups and collaborations. Just be intentional, regardless of the platforms at your hands. I forget who said it, but basically whoever's meant to win will win. It's like, if there are people who are hungry and they're going to win regardless. So if you're one of those people who's meant to win and you believe that about yourself, you're going to go get it.
Amen. And how do you combat the naysayers in defense of people saying what you're doing is a gimmick, or you just don't want to be Eminem?
Yeah, I think if you don't get hate, you're doing something wrong. I grew up playing basketball, and the worst thing that can happen to you when you're on the court is they say, let him shoot. You know what I mean? If they leave you open, it's like, dang, I must not be a threat at all. So I look at it like, because I get a lot of hate, especially because I'm trying to do this for God, and I'll get hate from religious people like, oh, you know, you're around all these producers and these artists, and, you know, are you going to sell out? This is crazy. And then, you know, people in the world, I get honestly less hate from people in the world, but those people will sometimes be like, you know, like you said, like, oh, you know, you're a white rapper and da da da. It's like, I think for me, my true north, and every artist should have the true north of being authentic. You know, I wear goals in my mouth because I grew up in Tampa, right, Florida. And I remember when I was 14 years old, I was on the court and Big Mike, he had a grill. And I was like, dang, that's crazy. When I get money, I got to get a grill someday. I'm being authentic to my experience, right? And I think if I can look you in the eyes and tell you, yeah, this is just me being me. I love Jesus. I follow God. I put it in my music. I'm huge on motivation. I love Kobe Bryant and David Goggins. And, you know, like, I'm going to put that in my music. And, you know, I love hip hop. My favorite album of all time is College Dropout. And I'm always listening to music, but I love classic rock. So, you know, I'm going to put on the leather jacket and be like Bono on stage. Like, if I'm just being authentic to myself, it doesn't matter what hate I get, because I know that I'm not going to regret, oh, I didn't live life as me. And me believing in God does not mean that I'm trying to condemn any of my listeners. I want them to be all the way them all the time. That's my message. I love God. I'm going to put it in my music, and I'm going to wear the grills, and I'm going to look fresh, and I'm going to turn up in my city, because that's who I am. That's who I want to be, right? So if I can win, so can you. And I just want a whole generation of artists who don't feel like they have to compromise to fit the music industry, but they believe they can be all the way them all the time. And God will use that. He'll bless that. I was talking about this in another conversation, but, you know, in the Bible, Jesus himself is literally like, I would rather you be a flat out devil worshiper than be a fake Christian, right? I think you and I can both agree we would rather have a real enemy than a fake friend. And it's the same thing. Like, I don't want you to be, you know, religious and fake and hypocritical. I want you to be all the way you, and I can respect that. Even if I'm different, I can respect that the same way that I hope you will respect me for being all the way myself. That's why I try not to get in the negativity too much. I almost look at it like a compliment. The best players get the most defense anyways.
So your music is made to fill in the blank.
Inspire. It's simple. I want to make music people want with a message that they need. They need to hear me, and regardless of where they're from, what they've gone through, they need to feel like it's possible for them to win. My success is documented because I'm just a regular guy who started making songs in my bedroom, and God allowed me to win. I want them to know this is just as possible for them. There's people out there way more talented than me, you know, way more gifted, but they're going to be afraid to try to use their gift, and they're never going to try. This is not about who's the most talented. It's about who's working hard and showing up. It's the same thing. Kobe, again, going back to Kobe, he was not the most physically gifted, but he kept showing up. And I think what I hate thinking about is, like, there's so many talented people who let their family or their circle or their environment talk them out of greatness. And they settle for being normal because they're afraid of failure or rejection, or their circle doesn't want them to win. Like, you know, what we're doing right now, we're using our voice and our platform to be different, to inspire others. I need a whole generation of artists doing that. So I think for me, if they hear it, I want my music to be the soundtrack for underdogs who believe they can be champions. They got to hear me and be like, oh, shoot, if he can do it, you know, I can do it too. You know what I mean? Like, I want them to feel fueled up to go get it.
And speaking of that, I mean, for you, your parents were just hardworking mom and dad. Can you explain the process and the tools you utilized in your bedroom? What kind of computer did you have? What kind of programs do you use?
I'll never forget, man. The greatest gift that I ever got was Logic. They gave me Logic Pro, and you know, they had like invested into me. They're like, look, we believe in you. My parents are super hardworking. They love God. They've set a great example for me. I don't take that lightly. That's something not everybody has. So I'm very grateful for it. Even when we struggled, I always felt that sense of like, you know, it's going to be all right, because I knew that they wouldn't give up. And that's part of my DNA as well. I'll just never quit. When they gave me Logic, I stayed up all night just trying to figure out how to use it, because nobody in my family had ever done anything in production or in music or social media. Nobody in my environment was on that. Literally, like, I was the only person in my entire circle who was interested in this, you know, wanted to learn about it. So I just spent hours and hours all night. My pops literally is like, all right, you know, here's this. We had an Apple Mac. I still have it to this day. And he's like, here's the Mac. Here's Logic. You got to figure out the rest. And I just stayed up all night, bro, watching tutorials. Like, I'm going to figure this out. And I remember, I kind of made a decision, because in high school, I wanted to be accepted, and I had kind of stepped away from my faith and stepped away from my music because I wanted to move with the people who were cool. I had been getting bullied and left out. So I was like, man, I'm gonna show you, I can go talk to the girl that you can't get her number. I'm gonna go hang out with the people you think are cool. And it was all based out of insecurity. And my mom realized how I'd been living, and she got real serious and was like, in 10 years, you'll have Jesus to lean on when you're done with this act, but they don't have an answer. So you're watching them drown. And basically, that's translated into, you have a responsibility to be authentic and bring truth. You're not doing that because you want to fit in. And when I realized that, I was like, man, this is bigger than me. What if God has put me in these environments to reach one person? All right, I got to show up. In my regular life, I started reaching people, and I was like, oh man, I got to put that into music. So I kind of made a commitment, you know, speaking of Logic and producing, where I was like, man, I'm not going to parties. I'm not moving in the same environments. I'm going to change my circle, and I am locking in every free moment I have. If I'm not at the court or working out, or if I'm not doing something with school, I'm in my room with the door shut. Sometimes I forgot to eat. My mom would knock, be like, hey, you forgot lunch or you forgot dinner. But like, I got to figure this out. And everything that I've made, everything I put out to this point, I've either produced or co-produced because I had that hunger to like, let my art be given to the world. So I got to touch it in some capacity. And that's why I'm also a huge believer of like, use your resources. We talked about it a second ago. At the time, YouTube, going viral on YouTube was like the move, right? And I put out my first music video. I invited like 20 plus friends to be there. Nobody showed up except my brother and two strangers from the mall who I had said, hey, all my friends are going to be at a video. You should pull up. They were the only ones who pulled up. We shot the music video on a borrowed camera. That was my first song I ever put out. The song dropped. Nobody listened to it. The video dropped 11 million views later. You know what I mean? Like, that kickstarted everything for me, but I was making everything in my room on Logic. I was shooting videos with borrowed camera with whoever would be in them. And that also proves to me, like, especially because I've done it more than once now, whether it's via TikTok, whether it's Instagram, whether it's YouTube, I've had more than one moment where I've, you know, hit the right timing and had the right song for people. So I'm just a huge believer in, we need the next artists. We need the creatives coming up under me. Put your gift out there. You don't want to be on your deathbed like, man, what if I had, you know? You can get FL Studio. You need to get Band Labs. You know, you got Pro Tools because somebody else has a, you know, subscription. You know, you want to do videos and you got only a phone. Like, just start with it, bro. Do it, because you got so many people who have massive platforms now who didn't wait for the perfect timing. They just started, you know? Drewski skits on iPhone, bro. And dude is massive now, but you can find his old skits. He was just doing what it took to get in front of people. Kai Cenat streaming all the time. Like, everybody's got to go get it some way or another. So yeah, man, whatever your platform is, whatever you've got, I still remember mine, but just find what you can have access to and then go get it.
How did you discover your musicality? Were you in glee club?
That's crazy. No, I was one of those kids where we have it on home video. I just pick up anything that was musical. I'd pick up a guitar and want to do a concert for my grandparents. You know, we used to live in my grandparents' basement out in Michigan, and I would like, they had a piano, and I would just make everybody sit down in the living room at, you know, 3, 4 years old and just bang, bang, just banging on the piano. Like, I just wanted to do music. And then when I was 6 years older, 5 or 6-ish, when we moved to Florida, because I grew up in Tampa, I moved there when I was 4, and then I lived there my whole life. And it's a huge part of who I am and my music. But I remember going to a concert with my parents, and like, I got to do that someday. Even at 4 or 5 years old, I just was blown away, like the lights and the sound and the, you know. So I think for me, it was just my parents were amazing, and they noticed that gift. And then my mom made me take piano lessons, even though I hated it, but that's how I can produce now. I can play all the music. I got to see my piano teacher, Miss Claudia Louie. I got to see her when I went to New York on this last trip for Atlantic. And it was crazy because she was there when I was 5 years old learning how to play. And I got to have dinner with her after signing with Atlantic, like, hey, thank you for your investment. So, quick side note, you have no idea, you being faithful with your gifts and helping others, how much that's going to impact the world. But yeah, so I think that's where the musicality came from. It's like I showed signs of it, and then my parents just kind of, even when I w didn't want to put in the work, they helped me learn the discipline to grow it, grow it, grow it. And then eventually, you know, I started rapping because that was just my favorite to listen to. And like every environment I was in, it was always on. Like I grew up around it, and I was like, man, what if there was some of this music that I could put on that talked about God or that has some inspiration to it and wasn't going to get laughed off because it was corny? Like, I got to be the guy to figure out how to make that sound. And that's what I started working on.
And speaking of which, your tonality is vicious.
I like that. That's hard. Vicious. I like that.
It's vicious. So how did
Intense.
you discover your tonality? Yeah, because you know a lot of rappers that do rap, Christian music, whatever, their tonality is not as hard. It's like your tonality is kind of battle rapper-ish. It's kind of like your
Yeah.
lyricism is sick. So how did you discover that? How did you find that vocal tone?
I'm a prophet, bro. What I mean by that is just I'm destined to carry a message, right? And I talked about it throughout this conversation, but I have a burden, a responsibility to share my music with the world because somebody needs it for the one, right? For the one who's lost. I know I was drowning, and that right moment, that right conversation turned my whole life around, right? So there's a fire and a hunger in my chest that I can't go to sleep about. I don't care how anybody feels, I don't care what they say. This is so much bigger to me, bro. I've had people come up to me after shows, show me the scars on their wrists, and say, this music's why I'm still here. I just got out of prison. This music is helping me get my life back in order. I'm sober for the first time in months. This music is my soundtrack. When you hear conversations like that go down after a show or in your comments, you can't afford to be passive about it. It's so much bigger than me and just my dreams. Even my dreams are all about my family. I want them to win, right? So the responsibility has gotten so much bigger than me. And authenticity is culture currency. So every song I make has to be all the way me. That all the way me comes with a lot of fire. It just comes out through my voice. Even now, bro, you can feel it. When I'm speaking, there's a passion, there's an anointing because I'm called by God and I'm unafraid.